And it's not over yet.
That's not a new one.
No, but I don't know that we've done it recently.
That's true.
So that's good. But there will be other new stuff. Many of us are traveling, so our prayers go out with all those who are traveling and journeying today. Will you join me in a moment of prayer, please? Spirit of wonder and surprise, journey and discovery, calling us onward and outward with the awareness of your presence. Help us to be humble without denigrating ourselves. Help us to acknowledge our achievements without inflating our ego. Help us to know both our largeness and our smallness. And as we grow up, help us, inspire us to grow in your favor and to become a better person among people. In your many holy names we pray. Amen. The lectionary selections for the Sunday before Epiphany are always kind of interesting. One of them this year is the story of Jesus at around 12 years old, a youngin suddenly separated from his parents on a trip to Jerusalem. His parents were very distressed. Getting separated from your child is horrific. It's traumatic, whether it happened 2,000 years ago or just yesterday. We humans have not changed that much over the centuries. So after a frantic search, his parents finally located him. Where? In the temple, for goodness sake. Sitting with the teachers and with the scholars, asking questions, clearly curious and very inquisitive. It is the beautiful story of a wonderful moment of a young person stepping out of their comfort zone. Beyond the bubble of their security, stirred onward by a sense of curiosity and wonder. The other story selection features another child in a temple, Samuel. Now, this is the last Sunday of 2018. Amen. 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 And as we balance on the precipice of one year ending and a new year yet to unfold before us, I often feel called to reflect on where we have been. It is indeed just another day, and yet it's also a milepost marking our journey forward, a journey through a year of change and joy, wonder, and heartache. Now, from such vantage points, I often find myself looking back not just over the past year, but reflecting back on some of the profound moments in life. Great moments of growth in humanity's journey. Especially in such times, I seek to be reminded of the occasions when we were great. When we did great things, big things, crazy things. Otherwise, it is too easy to see ourselves growing old without growing up, growing bitter without growing better, growing cold without growing warm and alive, inwardly and outwardly, to recognize our smallness as we grow in stature and in ability. 50 years ago this past Christmas Eve, the first mission to the moon with humans on board entered lunar orbit for the first time. Commander Frank Borman, pilot Jim Lovell, and pilot Bill Anders. Astronauts with what one observer called lunchbox names. Frank, Bill, and Jim. Very ordinary, orbited the moon and broadcast to Earth with the world literally watching. They each took turns reading the first 10 verses of the book of Genesis. Now, I remember this vividly. I was just a kid marveling at the moment, watching as a child with all eyes filled with wonder. It was a magical Christmas Eve. A moment when I felt we were simultaneously in our infancy and yet having grown tall enough to break the fragile atmosphere of our world, to leave its comparative safety for the cold reality of space and to reach for for the stars. On December 27, 50 years ago, this past Thursday, Apollo 8 splashed down in the North Pacific Ocean, somewhere southwest of Hawaii. It was arguably the most significant of the Apollo missions for a whole host of reasons, even lauded as such by the more dramatic missions that followed. It was the very first craft with humans on board to leave low Earth orbit, reach the moon, orbit it, and return safely home to Earth. It proved the possibility of such a thing and surprised all of us. Now, in addition to that gift, they also gave humanity another gift, perhaps one of the greatest things, something which wasn't even scheduled to happen. It wasn't supposed to happen, and it almost didn't happen, something that surprised NASA and the astronauts as much as the rest of us. And that was the ability to see ourselves. Take a good look at ourselves. All 3.5 billion of us in color through the small window of a spacecraft some 240,000 miles away. They were the first humans to photograph an Earthrise. An Earthrise over another celestial body. I can still feel the amazement and the wonder of all this through the eyes of the child that I was, and in many ways, still am. Heather will vouch for that. Now, the urge to reflect also led me to look back at my first sermon of 2018. It was called Extraterrestrial Life. And we looked at the beauty of the earth then, as reflected through the lens of the first five verses of the book of Genesis, along with a quote from David Bowie. Quote, "If you feel safe in the area that you're working in, you're not working in the right area. Always go a little farther than you feel you're capable of being. Go a little outside of that space. And when you don't feel that your feet are quite touching the ground, then you're just about in the right place to do something really, really exciting." Samuel found himself in just such a place. A young'un, some might say in way over his head, a child really, serving in the temple of God. How he got there is another story. Samuel was given to the service of God from the get-go by his parents. Once again, we have a miracle birth of sorts. Hannah, who had not had any children by her husband, Elkanah. Elkanah had two wives, by the way. Not at all uncommon at that time. And during some periods, even the norm. His favorite wife was Hannah. But Hannah had had no children, and she wanted a child so much. She yearned for a child with a yearning that can only be experienced by one who has been told, or who believes, or who knows that they cannot have a child. She prayed at the temple so longingly, so often, and with such fervor that many times at the temple they thought she was either drunk or crazy, or maybe both. She prayed earnestly. She poured out her heart to God. She cried with pain. She cried with anger, yearning from deep in her heart, promising that should God ever favor her with a child, she would dedicate the child in service to God from the very beginning. Her prayer touched God and let God touch her. And when the child was born, she named him Samuel, meaning God has heard. God has heard. God surprised Hannah with Samuel. And after weaning, she left the child with Eli, high priest of Shiloh. Now we hear in the passage today, Samuel was just a boy. He was wearing an ephod, a priestly garment, an elaborate sleeveless garment, a garment that made his work apparent by its very appearance. Think clerical collar. And like the clerical collar, I'm sure the weight of it was much, much heavier than what it appeared. It designated him as one in service to Yahweh. And we find him ministering in the temple, a child in the temple of God. A child growing up, working with the wonders of God, surrounded by mystery and those in need and those in search of prayer and comfort. Like his own mother who had come to the temple to pray, distraught, talking to herself, yearning for a child she thought she may never have. And I feel the love between the lines in each stitch of each cloak Hannah made for her son Samuel as each year he grew, as each year he grew up and out. Growing up in service to God, in service to something much larger than oneself. I have some small sense of that being a PK, a preacher's kid. Growing up with an intimate view of church communities and a household that revolved around liturgical seasons and a sense of religion permeating every aspect of life and the awareness of God never very far away. You either grow up hating it, as some PKs surely did, or you grow up filled with curiosity and with wonder, marveling at the mystery, the sense of the proximity of divinity as near as one's own breath. I remember Dad telling me that we lived off the tithes of others. And so our lives, everything in our lives, our car, all that we had, was consecrated in service to God. I asked Dad if this made us special. It's a natural question for a kid to ask. He thought for a moment and then shook his head and said, "No, it's that way for everyone. It's just that we have an awareness of it. We are aware of it." And so I learned at an early age that awareness is important and self-awareness is critical. So there was Samuel, a child in the house of God, emerging from his shyness and his uncertainty, breaking out into a larger space in service to something much, much larger than himself, larger than comprehension, ministering to those in need, an impossible task. An impossible task because the people are many and the needs are great. Stretching himself, growing up and growing out. And something occurred to me standing here on the precipice of the last Sunday of 2018 is that we are all children in the temple of God. We are all children in the temple of God. We are all here, sometimes feeling in over our heads. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
I know I feel it sometimes, but always with this sense of struggling to grow up and to grow out beyond ourselves, living for that moment when all at once we are both childlike and yet advanced enough to see ourselves. To finally see ourselves, to gain a broader perspective of ourselves and where we exist in the great scheme of things. Just like those young boys with lunch bucket names and the tin can orbiting the moon, when they looked out the window with childlike glee and with wonder. There is, believe it or not, a recording of that moment. Bill Anders says, "Oh my God, look over there. There's the earth coming up. Oh wow, that's pretty." He turned the camera from the lunar surface. Commander Frank Borman, "Hey, don't take that. It's not scheduled." Half laughing. You see, it was the age of film, Kodachrome, and their film supply was very limited. It was precious. And each photo had to be scheduled, orderly, safe, and measured. No room for stepping or dancing outside of the comfort zone. Bill Anders laughing. "You got some color film, Jim? Hand me that roll of color, quick, would you?" Jim Lovell says, "Oh, man, that's great. And they snapped a photo. A photo of what would later be known as Earthrise. Perhaps the most viewed photo on the face of this earth. Of the face of this earth. A photo of all of us, every single one of us, minus the three people behind the camera. Every human, except for them. We got a good look at ourselves. A photo that is credited with beginning the Earth Day movement a year later. A photo that some said saved 1968, a long and tumultuous year of difficult change and unrest, both globally and in our nation. It was the year of the first heart transplant and the year many of our hearts were broken with the assassination of Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King. The Civil Rights Act was signed. There were protests everywhere about everything. 911 emergency telephone service began. Senator Robert Kennedy was assassinated. The Poor People's March on Washington was held. And wars raged and roared and tore at the very fabric of humanity. And at the closing of that year, Earthrise showed us ourselves. Gave us the sense of who we are and where we are. In the great scheme of things. Our smallness and the very greatness necessary in order to see that smallness. Along with the awareness of the beauty and fragility of our little blue marble of a planet. One of the astronauts then held up his thumb, covering the Earth, noting that he was able to cover, to hide from view, all 3.5 billion of us then. Everything and everyone, everything he knew and loved, he was able to cover with the outline of his thumb. What a perspective of the majesty of creation, the infancy and youth of humanity, and the advancement and growth necessary for us in order to achieve, in order to see such a perspective of ourselves. And it almost didn't happen. The mission audio tape establishes that several photographs were taken on Commander Borman's orders with the enthusiastic concurrence of pilots Lovell and Anders, each astronaut taking a photo with childlike excitement, children in the temple of God. And it almost didn't happen. What almost hasn't happened yet in your life? What almost hasn't happened yet in your lives? What isn't even scheduled to happen? What isn't supposed to happen? And almost won't happen that will stop you in your tracks and surprise you with childlike wonder and allow you to catch a glimpse of yourself in a whole new light. What are you waiting for? Be alert, be aware, have your eyes open and your senses sharpened for the possibility, the surprising glimpse of a new point of view. Samuel could have easily grown up bitter in the temple. Honestly, church work can make some people atheists real quick. That is the truth. I have seen it. When they discover the frailty, the smallness, the failings and the shortcomings of humanity, and the way humans will often disappoint us. They will disappoint us if we don't stop to recognize and see our own humanity, to see our own selves, to listen to our own heart beating, and to look at our own feet of clay. Some of the greatest atheists I know have emerged from the experiences of church. In fact, one of the astronauts on Apollo 8, Bill Anders, in fact, emerged from the experience with a view of the smallness of what he had been taught about God from the tiny human church of his youth. And he became an atheist. Others shifted their view to a greater temple, a temple of all creation, and whose sense of something larger than themselves did not overwhelm them or disappoint them, with the sense of their presence in relation to it, rather moved them with a sense of awe and wonder. Nearly 2,000 years passed between the first Christmas, when God surprised earth with a bit of heaven, and that momentous Christmas, when three excited farm boys and a tin can showed us what we look like, once again surprising earth with a glimpse of heaven. And here we are now, nearly two generations have passed since the risk and the reach of that awesome moment. We are all children in the temple of God, and the great soup of life, a temple awash in possibility and wonder, having come so far with so much yet to learn about our smallness and about our greatness. We seek to learn these things. What in your life hasn't happened yet that you don't expect and that you are ready to be surprised by? Think about that and be prepared to be surprised. So may it be.